from the hops, the mighty Black Hops. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Black Hops. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you hops, move on. Now all the guys.
Thank God, something non political.
Something fun to talk about.
Coming up, I got, after 4:45, I've got your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Washingtons on Friday. I thought it was the Canadiens on Friday. Am I wrong about that?
Washington.
Hold on, what did you say, Kev?
Washington, then Montreal.
Okay, on Sunday.
All right.
And then Friday's the Veterans Day, so they've got their camo jerseys.
Camo jerseys. The Winter Classic really cool. Jerseys are out today,
yeah,
which are really cool. Throwbacks.
A little retro.
That's going to be at the new Busch Stadium, right, in
Correct.
St. Louis.
January 2nd.
Our very dear friend Eddie Olchek is standing by to talk to us. Big game tonight on NBCSN. That Rivalry Wednesday is one of my favorite things on television. And, man, the promos for the Hawks and the Blues that they're running on NBCSN, they're chilling, Edzo, chilling.
Hi, Ro. How are you?
Good, Eddie.
We're trying to build up the Wednesday night rivalry, not only from, you know, what happened last year in the playoffs and the year before, the couple of years that the Blackhawks took out the Blues, but, you know, back 15, 20 years ago when there was a few more disagreements and a few more gloves on the ice and sticks and stitches and whatever else you want to throw in there. But, yeah, it's all part of Wednesday night rivalry. So now that you're right, the political season's, you know, is over. The Cubs, obviously, congratulations. Being a lifelong Cubs fan, I'd be remiss if I didn't.
How fun is that?
Be like a fan. And I remember the days of Jose Cardinal and Carmen Fanzone and Milt Pappas to 1984 with Keith Moreland and Ryan Sandberg and Rick Sutcliffe and all those guys. But being a Cubs fan my whole life, to see what happened the other day was just absolutely incredible. So congratulations to the Cubs and the fans and to all the people that supported them both on and off the field. It was just great to see. But
but championships, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Exactly.
It is a page out of the Hawks book. It's a lot of fun. You know, you bring up Jose Cardinal. Jose Cardinal was one of my absolute favorites as a kid. You and I are about the same age.
Yeah.
One of my absolute favorite players as a kid because he had the crazy hair under the hat, and he was like a character.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget during a rain delay, he didn't come into the dugout. He actually went out into – he was out in – it was right field, and he kind of threw himself into that little, like, where those utility doors are back there, where they bring the equipment in, and he was kind of standing under that, and he was eating the ivy off the walls.
Oh my gosh!
He pulled it off. He thought, maybe I'll try it. And he started chewing on it, and I'll never forget Jack Brickhouse and Lou Boudreau. They just couldn't control themselves trying to figure out why would he be eating the ivy off of the walls. He's one of the greats of all
terrible.
Time. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, so it was just great to be watching and obviously a huge fan. And, you know, a lot of the nights that the Hawks were playing, I mean, the Cubs were playing, so, you know, it kind of made it a little bit more difficult. But for Game 7, I was out in California for the Breeders' Cup, so I always got a chance to watch Game 7 from start to finish and just great theater. So, again, I'd be remiss if I didn't, being a big Cubs fan, that just congratulations and can't believe it, and I'm glad that they were able to accomplish it. So.
And a great Breeders' Cup Classic, too, by the way, on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, what a race.
You did a great job out there.
Especially when you got the right horse, right, bro? So that's most important.
Yeah, you know what I ended up doing there, Eddie, because I was watching all day, and I took some of your suggestions, and I took some of your suggestions, and it was not a great day until the end to the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I took every horse. And I figured, I cannot lose in this race if I take every horse.
Makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Good. But, yeah, so, I mean, look, get back to the pucks. I mean, you know, look, this rivalry is as good as any and has been in the National Hockey League. And with the success that, you know, obviously the Blackhawks have had in winning and the Blues still waiting to win a Stanley Cup last year, what an epic series. I mean, I had a chance to talk to Ken Hitchcock, the coach of the Blues, today about just that series and just, you know, talking about just how epic it was and, you know, how close the teams were and, you know, the Blues not able to close the Hawks out and then getting eventually to a Game 7 and tied and Seabrook goes post and post and out. And next thing you know, Troy Brouwer, former Hawk, scores a goal and the rest is history. But a great rivalry and that's what it's all about. So tonight, 7 o'clock NBCSN. The Hawks and Blues will get it on, and the Hawks looking to even up the season series after losing opening night at the United Center.
Yeah, I was there. I remember. I don't want to talk about it. I'm so happy though. I like the way you said that, Edzo, too, which was, you know, yeah, the Blues are still waiting on their first Stanley Cup championship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
slip that in there.
Yeah, it's good.
Still
yeah,
waiting.
I like that feeling.
Hey, Joe Friday. Just the facts. Just the facts.
I got it. I hear you.
Hey, Eddie, it's Kevin. Good to talk to you.
Hey,
wanted to get your thoughts. Joe Quenneville's paired Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane on the top line for the first time in a while, and they're 6-0 since he's done that. Your thoughts on that? And also, for the fans out there, for us, why hasn't Q done that more in the past?
Well, I think he has, Kevin, gone to it when, you know, when push came to shove, when he needed to load up the big boys. I think, you know, he's done that. I mean, I remember a playoff series a couple of years ago where he did that in the L.A. series, right? And I think Kaner had that hat trick and, you know, the Hawks went on and win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, he has done that. But I think, you know, when you separate two world-class players, it makes it really difficult for the other side to defend against. And, you know, and I know a lot of fans and I think a lot of the media have questioned, you know, why doesn't he just go ahead and keep those guys together? Well, I mean, in Joel's defense, he's won three championships with this philosophy of keeping them separated. And then when he needs to, like he did last year in the playoffs, and obviously the Hawks came up short, he goes to those guys. Now, I think what happened early in the season is that the team was not playing very well. And even in the six-game winning streak, the first couple of games in there, the goaltending has given them the opportunity. I mean, Corey Crawford and Scott Darling have been outstanding all season long. And just in this winning streak here, they were really the kind of the catalyst early. So I think what happened, Kevin, was that Jonathan Toews got off to a slow start. It was like a revolving door up there, get somebody to help jumpstart him. And Joel didn't go to Patrick Kane until, as you guys mentioned, you know, 5-6 games ago. And the Hawks haven't looked back since. So it's more on schematics than anything else, but he can also, you know, he's got Artemi Panarin and he's got Artem Anisimov who are playing extremely well, and Marian Hossa's found another gear here since coming back from the World Cup. So we'll see how long it lasts, but, you know, he always has the ability to be able to split them apart, and they're much harder to defend. But when it's winning, you're not going to change a winning lineup, and so far so good the last six games.
Is it possible that Marian Hossa is actually the undead? Is it possible that he's thousands of years old and that he's never aged a day, that he will go on, he will play in the NHL for 100 years, no one will ever notice it, right? They go, oh, yeah, no, he's pretty, yeah, he's a little older, right? But he's really good. I mean,
he's just a veteran guy.
Last Thursday, I was at the game, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, he is still, you know, he's in on every play. He skates his heart out. I mean, he's, you know, from line to line, the guy is unbelievably energetic on the ice. And sometimes you see these guys, they come out, and part of it is his great physical conditioning, and he's maintained that even as he's gotten older. But, wow, I mean, what is he eating?
Yeah. He is, you know, we talk a lot about it on the, you know, on our local broadcast and just how incredible that he is in the consistency that he plays with. Yeah, you know what? I mean, maybe the offense isn't there, Roe, as much as it's been in the past, but the guy still can have an impact on the game. I still think he's as good as there is when it comes to forechecking or putting a player that has options with the puck, and then all of a sudden the guy doesn't have any options because of his puck pursuit and his ability to be able to have sticks and lanes and all that kind of stuff. So it is incredible. He's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I think we all know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's going to join you.
Come here. The depth aspect of it. You know, the conditioning part of it. Understanding his role. If he's not scoring, yeah, I guess the best way to put it is, you know, he's in baseball terms, role. If he's not hitting, he doesn't take his bat out to the field, and if he's not fielding, he doesn't take his glove to the plate and it affects his hitting, right? Like, he's just that type of player. And right now it's going good offensively and defensively. And for the majority of his career, it's been both. But, you know, there's been stretches where he's had a tough time. And I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, he was pressing last year for goal number 500. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. When you're that close and you got to sit a whole summer and wait and think about it, you know, it does take its toll. And he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but since he's gotten to 500, he had 2 points the other night. He had the OT, GWG the other night. He's just a world-class player, and getting to know Marian Hossa off the ice to me has been almost as great as watching him play and playing against him back in the day. I mean, we actually, I'm showing my age, but we actually played against each other way back in the late 90s, and he's just a terrific guy. I think our city should be very proud of the type of guy that Marian Hossa is on and off the ice, and, you know, he's just a guy you want to show young players. You want to have young players be around and say, look, be like this guy. You're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be like him. You know what I mean? But you want to emulate a guy like this. And I think with all the young players that the Hawks have, you certainly put together at least I would put together a VCR tape, not a DVD or anything, because I don't have the technology to do that.
I
would say, look, be like Marian Hossa. And the Hawks have a lot of those guys, obviously Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook. I mean, they got a lot of those guys, but Big Hoss is, he's a special guy both on and off the ice.
All right. Well, call a good game tonight. Have fun.
I'll try.
In St. Louis, which is actually a very nice town. I've spent a lot of time
great
in St. Louis.
City.
It is
great
a great city. Yeah. I like to make fun of it because I like to hate the Cardinals and I like to hate on the Blues.
It's just what you do.
Yeah, look, there's nothing. Look at it. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, look how much success have the Cardinals had over the last. Well, I mean, all.
I don't want to talk about it. Don't bring me down. What is that all about?
Anytime you turned around, the Cardinals were either winning a World Series or they were on their way to a World Series.
He won't stop talking about it.
I don't know.
Stop talking about it.
I'm not sure what that's about.
Although, I got to tell you this, the New Year's Day game that is going to be in...
it's not the second this year.
Second, right.
Yeah, January 2nd this year, yeah.
Because that's a Sunday. Wait, how does that work?
They don't
want
to
go against
football.
Well, because the NFL is on Sunday the 1st this year.
Got it. So on that Monday, the 2nd, and they're going to have that incredible... I mean, that's a beautiful stadium.
Really
that
is.
And that's a great place to go see a baseball game. Mm-hmm. And they've got that little like campus around it with all those bars and everything. It's very well thought out. And that, I'm going to tell you something, Hawks fans invading that in the cold. Oh, my God. What a fun afternoon that will be. All right, Eddie, we'll talk to you.
Get warm early and then stay warm during the game.
I've been known to do that. Thank you. Appreciate it. Another drill.
Thanks, Eddie.
There you go.
Wear your long
All right, Anna. See you. See you, Roll. See you, Kev. Have a good day.
Eddie.
Thanks for having me again. Congratulations to the Cubs. That was awesome stuff.
Thanks, Eddie.
It certainly was.
Great Eddie Olchek right there.
Yes.
Violetta Pider Medic has got the WGN traffic trouble spots.